Welcome to this Tahoe Project interview. We're in part three with Peter Kratz, Placer County Deputy Director of Public Works. We've been talking about the total maximum daily load, and you were just talking about how the TMDL really points to biggest bang for the buck or significant bang for the bucks coming from operating and maintaining the basin's roadways in a more optimized fashion than we have in the past. And you were just starting to tell us about how getting operations and maintenance funds is different from funds for capital projects.
Right, Michelle. And so talking about that a little bit more, you're right. Capital funding has always been kind of the easy bread and butter in the basin for, you know, addressing sediment and now how the framework of the TMDL, which is still about sediment. And as we move forward, you're right, the bigger bang for the buck is really honing in more on the operation and maintenance of our roadways. And the dilemma now, or the challenge, I'll say, is where does that money come from into the future? I mean, even the capital money that we still need for certain areas in the basin has dried up significantly. So we have this conversation a lot in our department, in our county, of enhancing operation and maintenance funding. Where could it come from? And one of the discussions we've had is, you know, forming assessment districts, or you know, whether it's basin wide or within the county. And that's always the tough one out there, is getting people on board, because you start talking about existing laws out there, at least on the California side, like Proposition 218, where it requires a 2/3 vote to pass an assessment. It seems like it's never a good time to tax folks, but the time we live in right now, it doesn't seem like it's a great time to get exact money from either state or federal government. So I look to the locals as, again, stepping up. And I personally, Michelle, I have to make this statement about where we live. And I know this is tough for some people to swallow, especially people that might live in the basin full time for a long time. I came to the North Shore area, came to Truckee in the mid 90s because I loved the landscape. I love the mountains. I still love it. I hike, I bike. Living in the Tahoe Basin to me is somewhat, I view as being a privilege. If you go back 100 years, there was a big push to turn it into a national park. It's not a national park. It's a sensitive landscape, though. It got developed. The way it got developed, we're trying to correct those, the way it got developed from the past, and make it a better place and deal with the economy of the area, all those things. And so as we move forward, I really think it puts a lot of responsibility, and I think it's not too much to ask for the private side to step up and contribute. Not that they haven't contributed in the past, but really to an exact tax on this issue of operation and maintenance of our roadways from the public. It shouldn't be that much to ask, and I know it's always can be tough times, but that's one would be one of my solutions if I went to the state legislature or if I went to Congress to say, and I'll keep it local or keep it at state level, to really push for a tax. And that would be one of my solutions. I don't know what other solutions are out there other than to say it's happened in other parts of California in terms of the world of stormwater programs. They have been funded by private owners through assessment districts. So there is a model out there. It's been successful in other areas. I feel like in the Lake Tahoe Basin, it's one that we really should put a lot of emphasis on, the fact that we live in a very special place in a very sensitive environment that has a higher bar for protecting the environment. And if we want to continue to live around an incredible gem of a water body and still keep the economy going and things like that, we have to look at potentially taxing ourselves to look for that solution for dealing with what we know is now, I think, something that we can get to just through looking at things differently from what we've learned through this TMDL toolbox, that operation and maintenance is one way to get there, along with private BMPs that we talked about earlier. And I know that exacts more money on folks that live here, but it's that's the tough pill to swallow right now. So, Michelle, we were talking a little bit more as operation and maintenance of our roadways and how it relates to TMDL and meeting the TMDL goals for reducing sediment into the lake. Just a little bit more background on operations and maintenance. So what we're talking about there when we talk about, when we look at our county roads in Placer County, is there's a whole list of duties that we have to make sure our roadways are safe for the public. I mean, that's one of our biggest goals in the Public Works Department of Placer County, just like other Public Works Department. And, you know, not only do we have to think about water quality, but we have to just, again, think about how the roads are in a safe condition. And when we live in a mountain landscape, in a winter landscape where we get snow, we spend a lot of dollars on snow removal and then making sure the roads are safe with applying sand, applying sweepers. And all of that comes from essentially one source of funding in California, and I think in other states too. It's called the Road Fund. And when I think about level of service and what we do historically and what we do today, and we are a destination area for tourists coming here, we have to serve those tourists at the same level that we serve residents for keeping all the roadways safe. It's a lot of things we do for one funding source, and when you tack on what's called the total maximum daily load, kind of the focus of our interview today, it's exacting more from a funding source that's pretty tapped out. And I know I get a lot of complaints just from the nature or the condition of our roadway surfaces, which also adds to the water quality dilemma. We have a lot of roads in Placer County that are pretty beat up, pretty alligator cracked, and that's just a reflection of a roadway, a fund source that just can't keep up with our road condition, the snow removal that we do, all the things we do to keep our roads safe. We are maxed out, and it goes back to this question about where we find additional funding sources to not only just keep our roads in a good condition from a safe riding surface, I'll call it, but to do things that we're talking about earlier with sediment reduction.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, so it comes down to, there are a lot of things involved in this conversation, but operations and maintenance, mm-hmm. A tapped out funding source, and looking for opportunities to find other funding sources or expand that source, which probably isn't right. Would have been done if it was an easy thing to do.
That's right.
Yeah. And is this conversation happening on a regional basis? I mean, this thinking, strategic thinking about how to find other sources of funds, are all of the jurisdictions around the basin talking about this together? Or are you sort of each within the context of each county and each state trying to think about this on your own?
I think a little bit of both. I think each local government is looking at different ways, kind of what we talked about earlier, assessing their constituents or their property owners at a local level for certain things like stormwater programs, to kind of a state level in the state of California. Look, we have transportation advocates that go to the Capitol to look at what I call the road fund and looking for ways at the state and the federal level to raise that percentage or how much funding we get through what's called the gas tax that's been fixed for several years and doesn't move. And that's been one of our longtime challenges to just deal, and that funding really is just dealing with the roadway condition, not to say, not even to deal with really dealing with the water quality enhancements that we need to do and the additional operation and maintenance that we're talking about with more expensive de-icing materials that we would apply to meet the TMDL objectives and more frequent sweeping. So At a basin level with the three California jurisdictions, what we've done together in the last couple of years is we've done a funding strategy report as required by Lujan to look at what are potential fund sources. And it does come back to, again, assessing property owners, doing a public outreach program to get them to buy into it. I keep landing back on that as a way to get there. I still think that's a potential way to go, to help us reach the goals of the TMDL. And to put that back into context, for Placer County, that's looking at a 10% reduction in sediment coming off our jurisdiction in the next 5 years. That I think it needs to come both from our efforts with public capital projects and then from the private side with their private BMPs. Again, a partnership as we move forward.
Can you give us a sense of what 10% reduction means in terms of tons of fine sediment?
The science that's been applied and how we've looked at Placer County portion of the basin is on average, 500,000 pounds of fine sediment particles discharge into the lake annually, on average. So a 10% reduction would be 50,000 pounds per year reduction through means of capital project implementation to enhance operation and maintenance to increased private property BMP installation. Those are kind of the three components that need to continue to occur. And really, it's the O&M enhancements that we've talked about earlier today and the private BMP installation that gives us the bigger bang for the buck. And again, that comes back to the private side needing to step up a little bit more. Not to say that we as the public entities don't look for places to spend more money in those areas to go side by side with the private side. But that's the context we're looking at in Placer County. And I don't think it's not a whole lot different if you talk about El Dorado County or the city of South Lake Tahoe or say Caltrans for that matter, mm-hmm. which is the Department of Transportation on the California side.
So 50,000 tons of fine sediment.
50,000 pounds.
50,000 pounds. Okay.
And another kind of boundary there would be, or just context would be, when I say fine sediment particles, those are the size of particles that are less than 16 microns in diameter. So
right, like
very fine.
Yeah, we've talked about printer cartridge dust.
Right.
Right.
And the stuff that if you in the water column, they don't settle out over time. They stay in suspension, and that's obviously an impact to water clarity and quality. And the other part that's part and parcel to that fine sediment particle is we found that phosphorus tends to attach to those fine sediment particles, and phosphorus is something that the algae thrives on. So if we knock out the fine sediment, we're also knocking out phosphorus and helping limit algae growth as well, which is also a culprit, especially with nearshore clarity.
So if water clarity is your goal, then the confidence is much higher now than it's ever been in terms of we know the culprits. And the toolbox has showed us that the biggest bang for our buck is operations and maintenance. Now it's about figuring out how to fund operations and maintenance on the order of removing 50,000 pounds of this ultra-fine sediment from the system, or keep it from getting to the lake every year through this combination of what can be done in the public sector and the private sector.
Correct.
Well, Peter, thanks for your perspective, and thanks for all your insight into water clarity and Lake Tahoe, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, Michelle. You're welcome. Glad to be here.
This is the end of the three-part interview with Peter Kratz, Deputy Director of Public Works at Placer County. Thank you for listening at tahoeproject.org.